Голышев устремляется вперед. На Голышева делает передачу. Голышев выходит один на один. Зарина.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast that wants to inject you with a little bit of happiness and positivity today, not disinfectant. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined, as always, by Ben Cohen.
How's it going, guys?
And we have a very special guest this week, Mr. Donald Rosner, who is the owner of Blue Line Deli and Bagels. You might know him as a defender of the public and families from the Bagel Boss villain, and the founder of the Barzagel. So, Donald, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming on. I know we've been trying to make this work for a little bit now. A couple of months we've been talking, and, you know, obviously everything is crazy in the world now. Before that, you were trying to open up the deli, so I know you've been crazy. But how, everything good with your family and everything, all things considered?
Yeah, thankfully we haven't had any issues with the coronavirus. Thank God.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So yeah, man, we want to just have you on. First things first, you know, tell us a little bit about the deli, how you got the idea to do it, and you know, where you guys are located. You know, do a little bit of self promo before we get into it.
Wonderful. Okay. So our address is 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington. We're not far from Route 110. Basically, the idea came from, I've been working for, for Bagel Boss my entire life. And I wanted to do something on my own, a little bit away from my family. Although I'm still very much involved with them, it's just, this is more of me. It's like a personal thing for me. I always wanted to come to work and somehow be involved with hockey, and you know, I was never good enough to play, and I was never smart enough to be a GM, so I thought, what the heck, you know, I'm good at the whole bagel thing, I'm gonna open up a deli or a bagel store, and I'm gonna surround myself with NHL stuff. So I hung every team's logo up in the store, just, you know, make people who are hockey fans comfortable coming in here, maybe discuss the games from the night before and stuff like that. It's a fun atmosphere here.
Yeah, you know, that sounds awesome. Now I gotta ask you, every team,
all of them.
Now, do you have like special pricing for Rangers fans when they come in, or Maple Leafs fans? Like they got to pay a little bit more, right?
Well, yeah, we charge Maple Leaf fan the most, and nice. The Ranger fans are close second. You know, we have we serve soup with no cups for Lundqvist fans. You know.
yeah, there you go. You got to give them some Swedish meatballs in their hands, you know, without any cup. I love it. Oh, that's a good one. I hope that's on the menu, you know, in an official capacity.
That's a special.
Nice. So, you know, obviously with, you know, with COVID and everything going on, it's been kind of a depressing time for a lot of people. There's no hockey going on. I have to say, and Ben, you know, feel free to chime in at any time, but, you know, every time I open up Twitter, the one place where I see positivity and awesome stuff is from your, you know, your account. You know, you guys are doing so much with the community between donating and just being involved. I mean, it just makes you so proud to be an Islanders fan. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff you've been doing? I mean, because really, Donald, I mean, it's been incredible from, you know, from day one when the toilet paper shortage was going on and it was doom and gloom and everybody was freaking out. You're over there like, hey, come on in. I got plenty. You know, I mean, so can we talk just talk a little bit about what you've been doing in the neighborhood?
Sure. So we'll start with the toilet paper. So, you know, I have two kids. And I couldn't imagine what it would be like to not be able to have toilet paper. It sounds silly, but so many people couldn't find it because people were going into the supermarkets and they were buying it all up. And it wasn't really fair to other people who, like myself, who have kids and couldn't get it. Luckily for me, a supplier that I've been dealing with forever had a bunch of it. And I thought, instead of gouging the price, which I would never, ever do, we would do it at cost. So whatever I paid for toilet paper is what we were putting it out for. And same thing went with water and paper towels. And we got a really, really good reaction from that. And we're still doing it. You know, I mean, it's a little easier to come by now. I think the panic has kind of settled down a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, like stupid things like that, like they mean so much to certain people. And we just wanted to help out in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I know, like, if you're thinking about it, about toilet paper, for specifically, you think about the types of reactions where you're thinking about toilet paper shortages, and you know, people make jokes about it, and you know, people are, but the people that are instead, like you, instead supplying that and taking that initiative to help people is honestly just amazing.
Yeah, it really is, man. I mean, kudos. You really and what I really want, you know, anyone listening to really understand is, like, you are doing all this, opening up a business in, you know, the, like, uncharted waters here. You know, I mean, I'm sure that that's been just, you know, crazy. So, you know, not ideal is the understatement of the century, but really, I mean, an unbelievable job by you out there. And I've seen, you know, you've done what, donations to, I've seen you bringing, you know, boxes of you know, heroes and breakfast sandwiches all around. I mean, where have you been dropping stuff off to?
Okay, so I'll start at the beginning, if you don't mind. We teamed up with Yes Men Outfitters with Devin Robinson. It was his idea to come up with these towels, and he said, you know, we could sell the towels, whatever money we make off of it, I'm gonna buy the food from you, and then you guys send it to wherever it needs to go. So I was kind of trying to promote that a little bit before we even started with the towels, trying to help. I just wanted to do my part for the neighborhood. Us being new was one thing, but that's just the kind of person I am. Like, I want to help out if I'm able to. So anyway, so Devin made the towels, and I'm like, asking him, what do you expect to do with these? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, do you think you'll sell 100 of them? And he's like, yeah, I think we'll sell 100 of them. So anyway, in the first night, he sold over 1,000 of them. He actually had to cut it short. And sorry about the phone.
Nah, you're fine. You're a busy guy. It might be Devin on the phone right now. I got 1,000 more.
So anyway, so he ended up selling a ton of towels. And what we did in return was we hooked up with Huntington Hospital, NUMC in East Meadow. Devin has a cousin in Winthrop Hospital, so she got us in there. And then beyond the hospitals, we were doing a lot of other, like, smaller places, like first aid squads, fire departments, police stations. Today, I actually went to a very, very large morgue out in Brooklyn, where those guys are really doing some dirty work over there, and it's unfortunate what they're going through. But, you know, we're trying to help out as many people as we possibly can. Whoever, for me, you know, sending breakfast sandwiches is not a big deal. But to them, it's such a big deal. It's just a morale booster when they get, like, a big delivery of stuff that they could just dig into. I see it. And I've been delivering a lot of this myself. And just seeing the reactions that it's getting, how do I not do it? You know, if it's going to help us, great. I mean, like, again, we're a new place, and I could use all the support I can get. I'm not going to lie. But what the reactions that we're getting from those people that we're helping is just phenomenal. And I also have to credit a lot of Islander fans who have been coming into the store and putting $20 down on the counter and saying, here, put this towards the cause. And all of that money that we've collected, 100% of it is going towards feeding somebody.
Well, that I'm glad you said that, because that was actually going to be one of my questions. And we'll certainly, I know the Long Island Sound podcast is certainly willing to help out as well. So we'll talk offline about some things that we can do too for you. But I was going to ask you that. Now, if you're an Islander fan and you've been living under a rock, I'll explain what these towels are, because they're just hysterical. So Devin, you know, mastermind behind Yes Men Outfitters and some of the genius shirts that I'm sure are in some of your closets. I mean, I have to look at his logo every time I drink a beer, because there's no way I can have one without the fisherman koozie. And I happened to order quite a few when those went live. The towel says, if you know the Rangers suck, wash your hands, which is just incredible. So that's Devin's genius marketing brain. Hard at work. So That's great. Now, I had another question for you, and I just, this is something that I've been wanting to ask you for so long. Where, I want to know exactly where you were when you came up with the Barzagel idea.
So,
like, shower, toilet, walking your dog, what, get me inside your head.
Well, a lot of my good ideas come from the bathroom, that's for sure. But no, so I guess that started with, I guess, a guy that shall not be named. He wore Butch Goring's number for a little while. When he was leaving, and he left eventually, it killed me personally. He was my favorite hockey player, hands down. I was there when they drafted him at the draft party, just like thousands of other fans who.
I was there. I was there too, man. Yeah.
So, you know, it really hurt when he left. But so basically, we needed to focus on something else. Barzell was at that time like exploding onto the scene. And, you know, at work, when you're playing with dough all day and you're, you know, trying to think of cool ideas and stuff, you know, basically it just came out, like, you know, making numbers. And I got to credit somebody else for coining the name, because that wasn't me. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was that coined the name, and I'm sure I'm going to hear about it on Twitter. But somebody on Twitter coined the name, the Barzagel, and I loved it right away. And the original Barzagel still exists, the first one ever made. It's in the same basket that I delivered it to a tailgate at the Coliseum. Yep. And they bring it places. You know, the people who have it now bring the Barzagel around to tailgates, and you know, that thing's gonna last forever. I don't
That's
know how
so
did
funny.
It.
Yeah, it's, so is it still blue and orange, or is it a little green now orange. Too?
Yeah. It's still blue and orange.
Nice.
It's number
nice.
13, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Unbelievable. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, that's great. Well, I have a personal question to ask you, just because I have to. Now, I've been living in Florida for almost 10 years now, right? I'm down in Southwest Florida. And so when you talk about a morale boost, you know, that it's not, you know, it's a morale boost, these breakfast sandwiches, trust me, I have not had a decent breakfast sandwich in quite a while. So when I get to New York, I always have to hit the delis up, and now I know at least where I'm going to go. I am also vegetarian. So you got any vegetarian options up there, or?
We do. So we do, you know, we make like grilled vegetables. I mean, like, what's a good vegetarian option? Go ahead.
I'm not like vegan or anything. So I'll just egg and cheese alone is good enough for me, you know?
Yeah. If, you know, we do a lot of grilled vegetables and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, look, most people, 9 out of 10 that come in here, they want bacon. You know, bacon is like one thing. But yeah, we will do anything, especially if we get a special request. That's a challenge to me. So, you know, I'm not a vegetarian. In fact, I don't really know too many of them. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but like, we'll do anything. I mean, eggplant. I mean, does that count? Eggplant.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Hey, so, I'm just trying to let every Islander fan of every, you know, category know that this is the place you need to be.
Yeah.
You need to be at the Blue Line Deli, no matter what. No matter what. So Don, we wanna have a little fun with you if you're down for it. A little rapid fire.
And you did sort of foreshadow a little bit,
you know, it's funny, but you kind of hit a lot of the things that we were going to just, you know, because we're like, we don't know how it's going to go. So we'll just put a list together of a few things. Now, look, no pressure. The second that we name whatever we're going to name, say, just the first word, thought, feeling that pops in your mind, just let it rip, man. Because, you know, the beauty of recording a podcast is there's always an edit button. So if something comes out that maybe you don't want out there. Ready. Yeah, we could just redact it later. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
All right, so we're gonna warm you up slow. Ben and I are gonna take turns. We're gonna give every other one's gonna come from each of us here. And again, just whatever you think. Okay. Like I said, we're pretty relaxed here, so we just like to have a little bit of fun.
Let's have fun.
All right. So, rapid fire with Don Rosner. Hockey.
Love.
Isles MVP 1920.
Isles MVP?
Yeah.
1920? Barzal.
Sidney Crosby.
Can I be uncensored?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bitch.
Bacon.
My favorite.
Adam Pellick.
Great.
Toilet paper.
Cost.
Barzagel.
Amazing.
John Tavares.
Snake.
Jack Capuano.
Not as bad as people think.
Lou Lamorello.
God.
Cream cheese.
Allergic.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't tell you how awful it is because I love it. I cheat on it and I deal with whatever I got to deal with because I can't resist it, but I'm allergic to it.
Barclays Center.
Hate.
I thought you were going to say also allergic.
Yeah.
Sniper.
Everly when he wants to be.
Goon.
That's probably the best answer you could have had for that one.
Yeah, probably. Goon.
Sorry, Goon?
Yeah.
Milan Lucic.
Doug Waite.
Regretful.
Barry Trotz.
My idol.
And last but not least, Dynasty.
I sure hope so again.
Nice. Well, hey,
I'm not good with the rapid fire. I tried.
No, man, that was perfect. That was perfect. Well, Don, I'm sure you're busy. We're gonna talk a little bit about Ilya Sorokin now. I don't know how you're doing on time. If you've got a couple of thoughts on the reports that he is going to be possibly making his way to the island finally. Now we're calling this segment whale watching. So I don't know if you want to whale watch with us a little bit. And yeah, of course, I have to always say, Mike Carver, you've coined the term the white whale for Ilya Sorokin for so many years now. So how could we not? You think he's coming?
Absolutely. I do. If I could just give you my piece on this real quick.
Yeah.
I've been an advocate of him for a very long time now. Obviously, nobody knows for sure what's going to happen when he gets here, but this guy's our savior, man. Like, I've watched him play, and he's just so unbelievable. I mean, like, every other day he gets a shutout. And again, KHL and the NHL are very different leagues, but I'm so stoked that he's coming here. And I don't think that he needs to be eased into anything. I think he can jump right in. I think Varlamov will be our backup very, very soon. And I think this guy is going to be a beast for us, for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you on that. I mean, I think we've, you know, it's funny. One of our hosts that couldn't be on here today, his name's Kenny. He was basically saying, can you think about how long we've struggled for goaltending. I mean, apart from Robin Lehner last season, we've really struggled to have any kind of consistency. And he said, think about the Rangers on the other side of it. When was the last time they've had a bad goaltender?
Right.
And it's just like, that's been the one thing that we've really been missing for so long. And I think I'm with you, man. I think Sorokin is the real deal. I mean, anyone who's watched the KHL over the last, 5 to 10 years, I mean, they know this kid is just, he's like one of the top three goalies to come out of that league in the last decade. I know Igor Aronko, who's been reporting on him forever, basically puts him on the same level as Shesterkin, if not better. And we all know what Shesterkin's done since he's come into the league with the red pants. So, you know, it's really, it's an exciting time. And I think Lou is known from day one. That's the only reason why he let Leonard walk. It's the only way I can sleep at night is, and knowing that we let Leonard walk is knowing that Lou at least had to have that ace up his sleeve. Because if he didn't, I don't know, man. It's going to be some civil unrest in Isles Nation.
I completely agree. I think that Leonard leaving was a big part of Sorokin coming over. And I'll tell you this, there were some brief rumors that Sorokin was traded at the deadline, if you guys remember, to Chicago. And my first thought and my only thought was, if Patrick Kane is not coming here, I'm going to lose my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no player, I mean, besides an obvious one, there's no player that I would risk trading this guy for that, I mean, he's just, he's too good. And I think that the goalie position is like, I don't think it's going to be so hard to, you know, like, translate to this game here compared to the KHL. Obviously, better players, but his style, just the way he plays the game, the way he reads the puck, he's just, he's too good. I really believe that this guy is going to bring us to a Stanley Cup. I really believe it.
It's funny. You took the words out of my mouth. I was totally just going to reference the trade deadline and how close he was to leaving. And when you think about, I mean, how important that goaltender is. I mean, all you have to do is look back at recent Islanders history to realize how important that position is, or lack thereof, can be to stopping what could otherwise be a really good team. And even
if you just think about Nabokov in the playoffs that one year where he just couldn't stop a beach ball, and that drove me crazy.
Like inconsistency in goaltenders. Like this year, Gryson Varlamov's numbers have been decent. But it was the inconsistency that cost us some games this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorokin anchoring a Barry Trotz led system is just, that is so juicy. It's so juicy. Well, look, Don, we loved having you on. You know, we definitely want to get you back, you know, when things settle down and maybe back to, you know, where we could actually meet up at a game, you know, when those when everybody would get together in a building and they would watch this, you know, a sporting event take place. That was fun back then.
Good times. Yep.
But yeah, man, we definitely would love to have you on. Any last, where can people find, you know, again, give us the address again. You guys have a website. I know you're on Twitter. Hit us with everything.
Oh. All right. Sure. So, the address again is 719 West Jericho Turnpike in Huntington. You can find us on Twitter at BlueLine719. And or you could just go to my Twitter at Donald Rausner. I control both of them. And, you know, I flip-flop and try to share on both the Twitter pages. And we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can find us if you want to find us. Just Google us. we're a new business, but the experience that we have here is – many, many, many years. So we know what we're doing, and we put out a good food, good products, and, you know, we're a hockey kind of place. So even if you just want to come talk hockey, you don't have to buy anything. We're cool with that, too.
That's awesome. Well, there you have it. Donald Rausner, Blue Line Deli and Bagels. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate your time, and you, man, just keep it going, dude. You're really doing so much for the community. So kudos and you keep it up.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, so that was Donald Rausner of Blue Line Deli and Bagels, and we've been again. We teased now. This was probably what, like, God, 2 months ago, where we teased we were gonna have a special guest, and it's just it's been hard to kind of get all of our schedules in sync, and even harder after the COVID-19 stuff started and he had opened up his deli. So really, really glad that we were able to get him on, and I'm not afraid to say that he is definitely one of the local heroes right now. Him and Devin, the work that they're doing together is just incredible. So really, we're so glad to have him on as our first true guest of the show.
Oh, for sure. Amazing. I'm looking at the Blue Line Deli Instagram page now, and my mouth is watering.
Oh, man.
I have a quick rapid-fire question for you, Damon, is, it's just going to be a yes or no, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Different flavor cream cheeses.
It depends on my mood.
Cream cheese.
Like what flavor?
Oreo.
Oreo cream cheese. I've not even considered that.
Because I'm looking at the Instagram page, and it's like Oreo cream cheese at Bagel Boss Murray Hill. And I realized that I'm pretty sure I've been there, and I didn't even like think of it.
You probably have. You know, I would definitely have it.
Yeah, I would try it. I mean, like, if it's not great, then I won't, you know, have it again. But
I mean, I can't. So as somebody who hasn't eaten like a true like bacon, egg and cheese sandwich in like a decade, I see those posts and I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, it's rough, man. It's rough. That stuff looks so good. So good. But yeah, I mean, he's a great follow. He's so involved with just like, you know, he's always catering to the tailgate group. And yeah, when you go over to Devin's Orange Tent, you know, he's a staple. You know, it's so great to, you know, one of the nice things about the Islanders, when it's such a small, tight knit fan base, you know, where when you look at, you know, the Maple Leafs or the Rangers and stuff, I mean, those are, you know, original six teams. They're, you know, the basically the representative of these major metropolitan areas and stuff. Like, it's not the same thing. And like, you know, you look at like Offside Tavern, Blue Line Deli, things that Devin's doing with Yes Men, Oyster Bay Brewing and the Barn Rocker and stuff. Like, it's just so awesome to see, you know, Islander fans growing up, starting their own businesses, being so involved in the community. It's awesome to see, and it makes you so proud to be an Islanders fan. You know, when you can talk and you can kind of put a face to the business and all that. I mean, these are guys that you've probably sat next to. I mean, again, like Donald was at the draft party for the Snake, and so was I. You know, I mean, we probably walked past each other 100 times. You know, that's just what makes it so cool to be an Islander fan, and what makes, you know, doing what we do, I think, pretty rewarding. Also, just you know, to put a spotlight on these guys. And please, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. But man, if I was on the island, I'd be at that place at least once a week, supporting them, out there just talking shop, talking hockey. So if you're anywhere near the Huntington area, please, give those guys the support. It's an awesome place. There's just Isles memorabilia everywhere. And the food is incredible. So the stuff they're doing, you know, just between repping the Isles colors, being a headquarters for Isles fans, if you will, and the stuff they're doing in the community, please support them if you can.
Yeah. All you have to do is go back to your point about, you know, those big teams. You know, when you were talking about the Rangers and the Maple Leafs original six, I said, all you do to describe them is just scum, but whatever. But if you want the difference in terms of that like tight knit fan group, I'm just dreaming, but you know, we saw like Devontae's at Offside Tavern and stuff, and buying stuff from Yes Men Outfitters, like Islanders players doing that all the time. And those, you know, places that are dedicated to, say, the Maple Leafs, like, exist, but I mean, I feel like you'd be less likely to see Austin Matthews chilling there, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to say for sure. I mean, I think part of it is that, you know, if those guys go out into an, you know, especially into like a hockey centric business, it's going to be hard for them to do much of anything just because of the volume of people. So I think it's, you know, one of the charming things. I mean, yeah, it's easy to take pot shots at the Isles sometimes when they have, you know, low attendance and stuff. But, you know, we are who we are, man. I mean, we were a team that was built around a very small community, in the shadow of two other hockey teams, you know, and don't even talk about, I mean, New York's been such a baseball town for so many years, and, you know, football, I mean, there's so many choices out there. So the nice thing is, you see anybody rocking the blue and orange memorabilia or merchandise in any way, you know, they're hardcore fans, and you know that they've been through the wars with you. And I think that just makes it a little bit more special than I think a lot of other fan bases around the league, but I'm sure every other fan base feels that way too. So, good for them, but, we know that we're the best. So
we're welcome.
That's all there is to it. So Ben, we chatted about Sorokin. I mean, we can get into the minutia of it, but basically, you know, the broad strokes here is that, basically after this month, after April ends, he should be free to sign with the Islanders. So, he can sign a 1-year deal. And after that 1 year deal, and there'll be bonuses where he could make upwards of almost $3 million, but he won't come close to that. He'll be just shy of $1 million, I think, with his salary based on his age. He's 24, and based on the fact that he'd still be an RFA. But you know, we sign him for a year, and then after that, he's a restricted free agent. We can sign him long term and really give him that money. One thing I was surprised about was I didn't realize that his salary in the KHL was so low. It's only like $2 million. So, obviously him wanting to come over to the NHL, you know, he's going to get paid, I think, a heck of a lot more than $2 million. Especially if he puts up good numbers in his first year. So I wanted to ask you, do you think that he goes in the AHL, or do you think he just starts right in the NHL with Varlamov?
I think he'll start in the NHL with Varlamov. And one of the main reasons I think so, honestly, doesn't have that much to do with Sorokin. It's that I think Greiss is walking. And I don't think you're signing like a Brian Elliott for a year at $2 million to stop, you know, the best goaltender outside the NHL from developing, you know?
Right, right. And I'll say this also, you know, we talked about the cap, how it was projected to go up by a large margin. You can forget that. I mean, the NHL hasn't had revenue at least a month now, month and a half. If anything, the cap might go down or just stay the same. I mean, there's going to be some serious finagling with the numbers for a lot of teams. And I think now, you know, where if the cap went up by a significant portion, you might have the breathing room to sign like a bona fide backup goalie for $1 million or $2 million for that year while you see what you have with Sorokin. I don't think we're going to have that luxury anymore. I think we're going to have to just deal with having Varlamov and Sorokin, which I don't think is a bad thing. But like from Lou's perspective, I'm sure he would have wanted a little bit more security in the net. And I don't know if we're going to get that now, especially having to sign another goalie if and when Greiss walks, because it's pretty clear he's not going to be an Islander after this season.
I'm pretty sure the NHL briefed that the salary cap is going to stay the same. Maybe I'm making this up, but I'm pretty sure that happened.
Okay. I mean, I think even if they did at this point, Ben, I mean, I don't know if they can really make that call yet. I don't have access to their revenue and everything, but like nothing's going on, so. I just don't think it's going to I think it's going to put a lot of teams in some hot water. I think you'll see compliance buyouts and things like that happening because of the situation that these teams are in and not being prepared for it. But I think it's going to change plans for quite a few teams, us included, where, you know, again, maybe a Brian Elliott kind of situation would be something that Lou would have done. In the past, I don't know if he's going to have the luxury of doing that now. And I don't know if he's going to need to, but, you know, still, it's a new, you know, he'd be moving to a new country, different size arena. I mean, ice surface is smaller. I mean, there's a whole number of things that, could be in play. But I also think talent is talent. And even if he has a rough couple of, you know, first 10, 15, 20 games even, this is a professional goaltender who is, just starting to enter his prime as far as goaltending is concerned. So I think he's going to be just fine.
Right. And also when you think about the Islanders situation with cap, like we were going to be in cap trouble without the cap going up anyway. So they're going to have to finagle something to be able to sign those big three RFAs or figure out how to get one of them cheaper, have one of them sign a bridge deal. That I don't want anyone to sign a bridge deal. I want to lock all three of them up. That's just me. I know it's going to be expensive, but I don't care. I want all three of them on max deal, not max term. That's just me. I know it's risky, but I need those three to be committed. Like, not emotionally, also emotionally, but literally. But that's going to be harder. That's going to require a lot more money.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Ladd deal is a big one. They're going to have quite a few, what I consider garbage contracts coming off the books too, which will be nice. And if they can get a buyout and they can buy out Ladd, I think that'll give them some space. I think if they can, and we talk about this all the time, but if we can somehow move that Letty contract as well, especially if you can sign Taves and Pollock long-term, I think you have the luxury of moving Letty. I think you're okay to do that. I don't think he's adding that much to the table, especially, I mean, he started the season really strong and then he just kind of started to tail off again. I don't know if you're going to have much demand for him, which is, you know, the other problem. I think a lot of teams are going to look at him like a diminishing asset. But, you know, you never know. You get somebody who wants a little bit of speed. You know, maybe they've got a big D core and they want a little bit of speed, a little bit of mobility. He might help certain teams that way. So we'll see. We'll see. But the nice thing is, I mean, the cost of our goaltending is going to go down at least for a year. But when you're projecting out for the next 4 years, the next 2 years, let's say, you've got to sign the big three this offseason, whenever that may be. And then you're going to have to sign, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because he hasn't even signed his entry-level deal yet, but you're going to have to sign Sorokin long-term after that too. So there's going to be some serious cap navigating, and I think there's going to be some shedding of some contracts that maybe, you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to see go. You know, the Seattle draft is another thing. We're going to definitely lose a contract off of that. Maybe we do what we did with Vegas and we trade a pick to get rid of a garbage deal. I don't know, but, they're definitely going to have to figure some stuff out if they want Barzy locked up long-term. Bo's going to have another deal coming up soon too. If you want to have him locked up, I mean, it's time to start shedding these third and fourth line deals that really are too expensive because we're not going to have the flexibility in 2 years that we do now with our salary cap and our roster.
Do you think with that Seattle expansion, do you think it'd be the kind of thing where we would, because we're going to have to leave someone like one of those contracts, like Bailey or Eberle or Lee or Nelson. Probably not Nelson. I mean, one of those three guys is not going to be protected. Do you think that, first of all, do you agree that it would probably be Bailey the one that's unprotected?
Yeah, I do.
And then I struggle saying this, but I believe that he's on a fair deal for his value. Maybe even a good deal for his value. He's at 5.5, right?
Who, Bailey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's low. I'll pull it up while...
Yeah, so I mean, as much as I like the value on that contract, I think if that's who we lose to Seattle and we also lose $5.5 million, I think maybe worse things have happened. As much as I like Bailey, I think... I mean, it's no secret that his experience with the Islanders has been... Well, weird. So I don't know. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to lose him to Seattle. But I also... Well,
I mean, it would kill me just because I think Josh Bailey wants to ride out his whole career as an Islander. And that's such a rare thing. And I know he's polarizing and all that stuff. But, like, you know, I still think he's a good player when he's utilized properly. And I think... Okay. You know, I think that he would have some value to Seattle because he'd be a solid presence, a veteran. But you don't know what they're really looking, you know, what they're really looking to do with him. I mean, you know, this season he was, I mean, minus 12, you know, I mean, he 14 goals, 29 assists, he has 43 points in 68 games. Now, when you look at that production, like, that's not bad. That's on pace for, like, probably, what, 50? He'd probably get close to 50 points. For a third line player, that's really not, you know, that's not a bad thing. I mean, most of his career, he's been, like, in, you know, he's kind of averaging, you know, 50s. You know, 2016-17, he was 56 points. 2017-18, he was 71 points. Last year, he was 56 points. This year, 43. Like, he, you know, he's... I think he adds a lot more from a defensive standpoint and just an intelligence standpoint. He's never the 1 year he played with, you know, with Tavares, and he looked great with that 71 points because he had 53 assists, you know, but he's a guy who finishes, you know, who needs a finisher to really be effective. So it's all about his utilization. But, you know, he's 30 now, you know, I mean, so he's going to be, you know, by the time next season rolls around, he's going to be 31. I mean, he's getting up into the, you know, the next phase of his career. So those numbers, yeah, you're not going to expect those numbers to increase any more than what they are. You kind of have what you have with him.
Exactly. I'm with you. I like Josh Bailey. I like, there are things that he brings to the team. And I think part of that low-ish for him points, even though not crazy low, and also minus 12, is because he was the Swiss Army knife. My issue with Bailey this year was his inconsistency, but again, he was the Swiss Army knife. You know, you never knew where he was playing on any given night. But at the same time, if you're losing a $5.5 million contract on a 31-year-old,
that's not even 5.5, Ben. It's 5 million even.
Wow. Still, though, I mean, if you're losing a $5 million contract on a 31-year-old, I think worse things have happened. No?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, right now, the nice thing is with the Isles is that they don't have any of these like massive, massive deals. If you look at their cap, it's all pretty balanced, which is a good thing because I think it gets you out of trouble quickly. And here's what I mean by that. Anders Lee is the highest paid Islander at $7 million. Now, we know that that's going to be an ugly looking contract in a couple of years, but you know, he's 29 now. He's a big dude. He's going to be a good net front presence. And I think his leadership, where you didn't have that with Tavares, you're certainly going to have that with Lee. And sometimes you need that character and you need that backbone to your team. I think, you know, you look at Lee's at seven, then every other deal after that, I am like, they are good, solid deals. You know, you got Nelson at $6 million, Eberle at $5.5 million. Ladd is, you know, that's the one that's ugly, and hopefully that'll be a buyout. Or, you know, you saw that they were trying to package him in a trade to get Parise and all that. So that's $5.5 million. Then Bailey's at five, Clutterbuck's at $3.5 million. Pajot goes up to $5 million, but that's not a bad deal. Komarov's at three. So, you know, and then your D is the same. I mean, Boychuk makes the most at $6 million. Letty makes $5.5 million. You know, then you got Pulak, who's, you know, Pulak's at $2 million, and then he's going to be an RFA. You got Hickey at $2.5 million. Like, all these are, Mayfield's at $1.45 million for the next 4 years. I mean, that's insane. Dobson's going to be on his RFA deal. So yeah, you got some things to work on. But I mean, as far as the cap goes, you're losing 3.3 with Grice. You're going to probably hopefully be able to move. I mean, I think so. 3.3, you're going to lose Martin at 2.5. If he comes back, he's going to come back for like $1 million. I don't think he's going to be any more than that. Broussard, $1.2 million. You're going to lose that.
I'm so done with Broussard.
Like, yeah, We don't need it. That wing spot can be filled with either Bellows or Wahlstrom. Because he's not a center. When they signed Pajot, that paved the door for one of our rookie wings to come in at $700,000 and fill that spot. So that's going to be a cheap answer. Same thing with Dal Cole. You know, you're going to have to rely more on your top two lines than your bottoms. I think when they have to sign the big three this year. So, you know, the Eberles, the Nelsons, the Baileys of the world, the Pajots, they're going to have to put points up. You know, another one to look at too is Boychuk. You know, you got two more years after this season. You had two more years of him at $6 million. So, you know, that's another one where, you know, you're between Letty and Boychuk after 2022, that's $11.5 million off the books. Maybe one of those goes in the Seattle deal. Maybe one of them is a buyout. I'm not sure. You know, but you've got Hickey that's waiting in the wings at $2.5 million that can slot in and fill in the gap. And you've got a decent, you know, veteran defenseman that can move the puck if you need to. So, yeah, it's a really interesting lineup because it's a lot of, you know, it's funny. They're getting paid like what they are. You've got too many middle-class players and no upper-class players, right? And that's exactly what the Islanders are. The Islanders are like a middle-class team getting middle-class pay between, you know, most of these guys between $3 and $5.5 million. So, you know, it's easy to shed some salary, but you got to shed a lot of contracts to do that. It's not like one or two bad contracts that once they're gone, you can breathe. You don't really have that here, for better or worse.
Well, yeah. But I think also, I think as much as I would disagree with Donald, that I would say that our MVP this year was Brock Nelson, not Matt Barzal. But objectively, our most, like, when you say who's the Islanders' best player, or at least who's the Islanders' best forward, like, you say Matt Barzal. And who's the Islanders' best defenseman, you say Ryan Pulock, even if you think it's Adam Pellick, which is totally fair. Like, you, the first one that comes to mind is Ryan Pulock, no?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. Pellick's not on this list because he's on injured reserve. Pellick's making
he's 1. Also on a cheap deal.
Yeah, 1.6 for the, and then he's an RFA. Zeker's 3.35. Like, that's another good deal too. Like, I mean, they've got a lot of.
Yeah, but with Barzal and Pulock, if you're talking about those middle class, like, you and Kenny specifically have always been proponents that we're gonna get those two specifically on cheaper deals than people think. I'm not so sure. But if we're going to get Barzal, like you say, on like a 7 to 8 million for, you know, max term or high term.
If you're getting him for max term, you're not getting him for 7 or 8 million. I think you're going to have to pay more than that.
I think you should go back and listen to some of our old podcasts.
No, I understand that. But understand that, like, when I was saying these things, that was, you know, I said, okay, if he signs, like, he'll sign lower, 7 or 8, if he's signing like a 5-year deal. He's not going to sign an 8-year deal at that number.
Okay,
he's eating too much of his prime. He's eating too much of his prime for that.
Right. No, so I agree with that, I think.
But he's also not going to make, I don't think he deserves 10.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think he'd be like 9.95. Yeah. I mean, that's a risk, though, because it's risky because he's a dynamic player and he's so important to our offense, but the numbers, when you compare him to other $10 million players, they're not quite there. And that could be because of Barry Trotz. That could be because he's not, you know, of who he's playing with. But it's a really, really tricky thing to tie up that much of your cap for a 75 point player.
And let's be honest, like, we think that he will be better than that.
Yes.
And so we are optimistic that the whatever contract we are going to give him is going to look better when, you know, 2-3 years down the line. So, you know, that's would be awesome if 2-3 years down the line he still has 5 years left at $9 million and he's a $10 million, maybe even more, player that we, you know, we think he can be. But also other thing, he could also just prove to be a 75 point player for his career. Like,
the question that ownership has to ask and that Lou Lamoriello has to make a decision on is, are we paying for the numbers or are we paying for puck possession? Because those are very different things. When you look at puck possession, which I think is very underrated, when you have the puck, the other team can't score. Matt Barzal on zone entries, on zone possession time, is like top 5 in the NHL. Always. So in terms of that, I think that's where you have to say, okay, while he might not be putting up Panarin numbers, do we value how long he holds that puck for? Do we put you know, do we put our eggs in that basket? And I think that's a valid question. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer for that. I think that's just going to be a philosophy and, a decision that needs to be made.
Right. I think whatever it is, it has to be somewhere in the middle. And I think also, if you are looking at the value of puck possession with Barzal and with the Islanders specifically, who else is carrying the puck?
Yeah.
Like Nick Leddy? Yeah. Okay. He's one of the guys that we're thinking about getting rid of. Pretty much the rest of the team is chip and chase.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And like we've improved drastically this season at recoveries, which is, one of the few improvements from last year to this year is with sorry about the dogs, but we've improved on that front. But you know, the whole team can't be chip and chase because regardless of what your numbers are, it doesn't work all the time. Where if you have Matt Barzal going into the zone, unless it's on the power play when he just forgets how to do that,
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of a player that you need to be sort of that identity in the opposite sense that the identity line is, because you do need to have that skill. And even if he's not, you know, putting in goals at the same rate as those guys like Panarin and assists at the same rate,
mm-hmm.
who else is doing that job for you, and who else are you going to get to do that job if he's not
right there? Well, that's the thing. Now the other thing to look at too is, you know, when you're trying to shape this roster, you have to kind of look at quite a few things. Now this year, coming off the books, assuming that no one signs an extension or anything, you don't have too many UFA deals that are coming off the books, but I think you've got people coming off the books that are going to help us from an addition by subtraction standpoint. No disrespect to Matt Martin. He's probably the best of the group here that would be coming off. But I think, again, we've said this before, he's 30 years old. He hasn't really been effective this season. I think he signs a $1 million deal to stay with the team long term, and I'm okay with that. More than that, $1.5 million tops. Outside of that, I think you got to say see you later. But Martin, $2.5 million coming off the books end of this year. Derek Brassard, $1.2 million coming off the books end of this year. There's no room on this roster for Derek Brassard anymore. Tom Kunackle, $850,000 coming off the books. He's 28. You know, if you didn't have Dal Cole, that kind of does the same thing numbers-wise and the same thing salary-wise. Like, he's a grunt. He's a guy that you just throw out there to give your better players a breather. He's coming off the books. Andy Green, I mean, I know he's $5 million, but that's not really real, and they were never going to sign an extension with him anyway, so he's going to be done after this season. And Thomas Greiss at 3.3. So you're at, you know, so this year you're going to shed less than what you're going to add on from a salary standpoint. Because you've got to sign Pulak, you've got to sign Taves, you've got to sign Barzal. Those three are going to make a hell of a lot more than, let's see, what are we at? We're at 3.7, 8.7, 12. You're at 12 million. So you're losing.
And right, those, between, you know, the, yeah, between, the three yeah. are probably going to be somewhere between that and 20 million.
Right. So you've got to lose another, you know, another 5-6 million, depending on the cap and where that all ends up. So again, I think if nothing else, and this is where it's disappointing, if nothing else changes, the only way this team gets better from a roster talent standpoint is by adding draft picks into the lineup. You know, hoping that Wahlstrom takes a step, hoping that Bellows takes a step. Unless there's a blockbuster trade where you're really dynamically shifting the lineup, or a compliance buyout, like I said, or amnesty buyout, whatever they want to do, and you're really not change. You don't have the room to make those changes, because even if you're then looking at next year, You know, so this year you've got to figure out a way to make somewhere between $5 and $8 million if you want to sign these three players to what they're probably worth. And you've got to add four players because you got to add Sorokin to that mix because you're losing your goalie. The following year, your next crop of RFAs that come due are Anthony Beauvillier. So that's a big one. Otto Koivula, not really a big deal. Michael Dalcol, not really a big deal. Adam Pellick would be after next year.
Wow.
So you've got Pellick and Beauvillier that you need to sign, as well as unrestricted free agent Casey Cizikas.
Didn't Clutterbuck coming off then too, or is he the year
after? No, Clutterbuck's the following year. And I think by then Clutterbuck will be 35. He's not.
I think next year, I maybe I'm dreaming, and I feel like I said this in the last podcast too, but I think next year Komarov's contract is such that it's not difficult to buy out. So I could totally see them doing that. Right.
Well,
and that should give you the relief that you need to get you over the hump, I think, with those kinds of players to re-sign. And I feel like Cizikas and Pellick are totally the kind of guys that you could see signing for less than they're worth.
And now, if we want to really go down, so the next 2 years, if you want to sign Barzal, Pulak, Taves long term, and you want to tie up your goalie long term with Ilya Sorokin, you've either got to shed some salary or you're going to have really, really, really choppy waters for the next 2 years with regards to the salary cap. Unless you're doing buyouts and you can somehow, I think this team is not going to have a first round pick for quite a while, because I think we're going to have to move one of our picks in order to shed some salary as well. But after we get through these next 2 years, and I know this is, if you're listening to this and you're like, what the hell are you guys talking? Look, there's not a lot of news, okay? So if you want to look at, if you want to look at this roster projection in the next 3 years, you're going to have 2 years of it being tight, and then your team really, really shifts. And that's also when Barry Trotz's contract comes up, so hopefully we can bring him back in the fold too. But after 2 years, on the third year, you're going to lose Cal Clutterbuck for $3.5 million. You're going to lose Leo Komarov for $3 million. You're going to lose Ross Johnston for $1 million. You're going to lose Johnny Boychuk for $6 million. You're going to lose Nick Leddy for $5.5 million. You're going to lose Thomas Hickey for $2.5 million. Like, that is a massive, like, that is when, if you really look at it, everybody's going to be like, that is like the end of this window, and like when the team can really make some serious moves, because you're talking about in 3 years, and just again, bear with me on this, but in 3 years, you're talking about losing, let's see, 8, 14, 15, 18, 21,500,000 off the cap.
Exactly. And you,
that, so
Ladd coming off the next year.
You've got to walk that tightrope for 2 years and pray to God you can keep every one of your assets. And then in 2022, you have a chunk of cap space available, like massive amount of cap space available.
And isn't Ladd the next year? So if you wanted to make a crazy move toward the end of Ladd's contract, you can probably dump him to the kind of team that needs to make the floor.
Yeah, well, that's Ladd and Varlamov at the end of that one. So exactly. I think why Lou did what he did. I think he signed the forwards that he thought were important forwards to keep long term, in the Lees, the Nelsons, the Eberlees, even the Bailey's locked up long term, Pageau, like the important pieces of this roster is intact for a long time. And he's gotta freaking navigate that tightrope for 2 years, and then the floodgates open. So, and I know you're going to have RFA, like Dobson's going to come up at that point, but you're in such good shape in, you know, in going into the third year of this versus the next 2 years. And again, all of this is going to be determined by what Matt Barzal does. That is the domino that's going to shape the rest of this roster and who gets bought out, who doesn't. Do our owners even have the money to spend to buy out one of these contracts when they're not making any revenue right now and they're building, you know, the Belmont? I mean, that's another question that, like, I mean, I know in a fantasy world, you'd be, oh, yeah, buy this guy out, do that. But, like, you got to remember, you're asking owners to cough up even more money than what they already are, and they've got zero revenue coming in right now from this team.
Exactly. And when the one thing that totally came up for me is when you're talking about that core that they signed long term, in a year where we don't know what training camp's going to look like, having that backbone staying the same is huge. They're talking about it in the NFL so much with offensive line staying the same and, you know, quarterback staying the same, working with the same offensive coordinator, how huge that is, because you don't know how, like, especially your draft picks coming into, like, training camp and stuff. You don't, you know, it's obviously a huge adjustment to the NHL. Those adjustments, you don't know how much time you're going to have to do that, because you don't know what training camp's going to look like. For the Islanders to have that backbone that we've talked about at length with those four centers down the middle that are, you know, hopefully the four centers for the foreseeable future. All you have to do is lock up Barzal, and then you've got them for a while. And then you'd like to think that Cizikas will resign, and you're great with your centers for I don't know how many years. And then you fit the wingers around them. But with that core, that backbone, and then adding the goaltender that's going to become the backbone in, you know, ideally, that's the setup for the future, as well as really good in the short term, because you don't know how much time you're going to have to prepare for the season. So that chemistry is super important.
Right, right. And this is why, you know, when fans are clamoring for, you know, the Islanders getting Taylor Hall or any of these, you know, these big names, like, that's not going to happen without this roster significantly changing with trades. Because we don't have the room for it. You can see it now. I mean, we just don't have the room for that. In 2 years, we will. But today, we don't. And for 2 years, we're pretty much, I don't want to say we're going to be in cap hell, but we're going to be pretty close to that. So what we have is what we got. So again, that's why you can't afford these mid to low tier signings of $1.2 million, $2 million, $3 million for a third or fourth liner. You're going to have to insert your entry-level deals in your third and fourth lines and hope that Wahlstrom takes a step and Bellows takes a step. If those two guys can take a step and be effective, and I'm not saying world beaters, I'm not saying like come in like Matt Barzal and light the world on fire, but be productive, you're going to save this team so much in cap savings that, and you need that. You just need that right now if you want to sign Barzal to a big deal and keep him on this team, which I think you have to. So we're looking good. I think the future's looking real good. We're going to have some aging forwards, but you know, there's going to be some interesting choices made with buyouts and with the expansion draft that I think could help us, hopefully. And it might mean losing a good defenseman too, but you know, you got a lot of money coming off the books in the future. And so I think that'll really, I would hope that that's what the plan is, to really, you know, make that big push, 2022-ish, which, hey, you're in Belmont, you got an, you know, that sort of thing. But right now I don't see how the team changes all that much, other than, you know, keeping what we have.
Yeah, it's hard to see before then, because even with those kinds of like another mid-tier, you know, probably like that second or third rung of forwards, like a Mike Hoffman type of thing, like you don't really have the money for that unless you move something. And sure, like you might be able to move Letty, but again, if you move Letty, you have to sign, you have to get a replacement. Maybe that replacement is Hickey, but again, like Hickey's at $2.5 million. That's not nothing. or maybe you move Letty and you bring back Andy Green and Hickey's the seventh D. That's a lot of money. If you didn't think Hickey was good enough to be in the NHL this year, I mean, who knows if he's going to play for the Islanders? I don't know if – would you say that – I don't even know if I would say that he's going to play for the Islanders again.
Well, I mean, you're paying him $2.5 million. So with what's going on with the roster, I don't think you can afford after this year to have garbage contracts playing in the AHL. You're going to have to figure out what to do with Ladd. You're going to have to figure out what to do with Hickey. You know, that's $8 million between those two. That can't just be $8 million. That's a tenth of your cap. You can't just have that in the AHL when you're up against it like that. So those two contracts, I think, are the most important to figure out what you're going to do with. You're either going to have to say, we're trading Letty and we're slotting Hickey in as our sixth, seventh D-man, and Dobson's going to play next year again. And all, like, you're either going to have to make that decision, or you're going to have to say, look, they're part of the team for the next couple of years, and we're just going to have to, you know, ride with it. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where that... you know, I don't know how that shapes out, but to me, those are the two most important contracts that have the biggest, maybe not the most important, but have the biggest question marks as far as our signed personnel, what they're going to do with them. Because I think everybody else, you kind of know. Like, Grice, you know he's not signing. You know the contracts that are not going to get re-signed. You know the guys that are going to get signed. But it's Ladd and it's Hickey. $8 million that played for Bridgeport. What do you do with that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Although it probably means some good things for Dobson. I think he should probably he'll. Remember we did the quiz a couple weeks ago. Will he be Will he be on the ice on day one next season? And I said yes. I forget what we all said, but I think that this helps him a lot because again, like that rookie deal is invaluable.
Yeah. I think they're gonna have to squeeze the most out of their entry level deals as they possibly can. And I think that's also why they didn't burn a year off of Wahlstrom.
Yeah.
As much as we wanted him up, I think when you really look at the 3-year plan, I think you have to say there's no way, unless this kid came in and scored like 5 goals in his first 9 games, like you weren't gonna have, like there was no way that you could justify burning a year. We're going to need that in the next 3 years. We're going to need cheap wingers to ride out this cap crunch. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, but that's the thing that's so different, I guess, about this Islanders young class is that we've been so excited about the Islanders young guys for a while, basically because of Sorokin and Dobson, and like now they're here. Dobson's probably going to be in the six next year, as in like the starting six next year. And you'd like to think that Sorokin will be him and Varlamov next year. And then there are those guys that are like the B level prospects that you hope are going to come to something, like Koivula and Bodie Wild, and down the line what's his face, the big demon they drafted, Samuel Bolduc.
He impressed me, and he's young too.
Yeah, he is young and he had a really good season. But there are two guys that we need to get in and that are going to either make it or not make it, and we just need to know. And that's Bellows and Wahlstrom. And one of them has to be the guy they drafted, or at least something close to
it. We need one of them. And you know what? It's really unfortunate, but we put a lot of pressure on ourselves now because we don't have a first pick this year, and they made an off-the-wall pick last year with Holmstrom.
I guess Holmstrom is on.
You really have to, like, you got to hope that your guys pan out. And of course, you can make a trade and you can really significantly shake up where your, you know, what your roster looks like. But, you know, we've seen from Lou that's not really something that they look to want to do or can do. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think we've got, you know, we've got a nice look at, like, you know, the next 3 years of, you know, where this team's going to be at. And I mean, I think, you know, if they can figure out a way to get more out of this roster, they'll be good, but I don't know if the next 2 years it's going to be something that's going to be, you know, unless Sorokin really just comes in and is like dynamite, and then, you know, then we can make a run in the playoffs, because I think this team's definitely good enough to make a run. They've just been lacking in the goaltending department as of late. I think they can be okay. So it'll be interesting to see. But we've been kind of running long, so I think it's time to wrap it up. You have any final thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. At first, I was going to be like, maybe we should just wrap it up by, you know, C and I are doing and that kind of thing. But we could also just do that again next week.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And hopefully we'll have some news next week on actual contract signing with Sorokin. That'll be big. And we hope everybody's doing well. I know this pandemic has just been, you know, raging on, and obviously New York's been hit really hard, and you know, we just, you know, our thoughts are with everyone here. We hope that you're staying well, that you're staying healthy. Wash your hands, wear your mask, wear your gloves if you need to go out. Be smart, be safe. You know, we'll get through this, and we'll be watching the Isles again soon, and we'll be complaining about, you know, a 2-1 overtime loss to the Arizona Coyotes as opposed to worrying about you know, where you're going to get toilet paper here. So you know, we'll be back at it soon, I'm sure. And again, we thank Donald Rosner for him coming on, making time in his crazy busy day of you know, and starting a business and doing all that he's doing for the community. So we thank him again. Please go out to Blue Line Deli and Bagels in Huntington. Check them out. They're awesome. They're doing so much with the community. Follow us on Twitter. Ben's at LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13, KaijuBlue 13. Find us on Facebook. We're on Anchor FM. We are on SoundCloud. We are on Spotify. We're on iTunes, all that good stuff. Find us on Facebook, the Facebook group, Long Island Sound Podcast. And we'll probably be back at it next week or two. You know, I mean, when there's things to talk about or we can bring some exciting stuff for you guys, we'll definitely do that. And in the meantime, you know, keep your binoculars close by. We're all whale watching, baby. We're all whale watching. So for Ben, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Later.